Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our talk and text line. Let's bring in breaking story this afternoon about details of LSU's all chips in kind of run toward Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. How you doing?
Good. Wilson, let me ask you something before we get started. You play cards?
A little bit, yeah. Which game?
Poker. You a poker player?
No, not too much of a poker player.
Okay. This is a high-stakes game of poker with Lane Kiffin.
No, Wilson,
Florida,
please.
LSU, Ole Miss. Well, high stakes.
Well, Wilson thought you were talking about crazy eights or something.
No, not that.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Well, my grandma taught me how to play gin when I was 3.
Oh,
okay. All right.
At 3? Oh, but then I don't want to play against you. Yeah, even though I got a few years on you, that's a lot of time.
But, yeah, but like Mike was saying, look at Lane Kiffin. Boy.
He's in the catbird seat,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Wilson?
Sorry, what was the question?
I said Lane Kiffin is in the catbird seat today.
Yes, he is certainly LSU's top target or a top target in the focus of this coaching search at the moment. He has family that came into Baton Rouge today. LSU officials arranged for a private plane to go to Oxford, Mississippi, pick them up and bring them down to Baton Rouge this morning. And now that seems to be the focus of the search right now is kind of all eyes on Lane Kiffin. And what is he going to do? Florida's obviously in hot pursuit as well, and Ole Miss wants to keep him. But Ole Miss, according to The Athletic and On3 today, have now given him an ultimatum, according to The Athletic, that's going to be before the Egg Bowl on November 28th. They want a decision as to what he is going to do next. And so all eyes on Lane Kiffin, and LSU is right in the middle of it.
Now, Wilson, boy, how things are complicated now because you got the playoff scenarios and situation. The two questions I have for you, because you know we're always a prisoner of the moment, and you look, they went to the Swamp, hard place to play in, and they spanked the Florida Gators. So as all of a sudden, oh, look, everyone says, I really like Lane Kiffin, boy, look what he's doing with Ole Miss. So do you think that comes into play? Let's say he would have went to Florida and had a stinker. You never know. You look all of a sudden, the rumors, and that was a rumor, the Memphis coach going to Arkansas. Well, they end up losing two in a row. Not that there was anything. Tulane's coach, they go to Texas San Antonio. Whether, you know, we are humans, how we think about things. But Lane Kiffin has had the Rebels still playing at the very high level to go to Florida and how they beat him, considering the significant games, how competitive Florida was. You look against Georgia, and you go on and on. But when I look at what they did, in Gainesville and now Florida, as much as LSU, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think Gainesville and Baton Rouge is basically the same. You look at the Swamp, Tiger Stadium, you look at the resources, the recruiting areas and all that, and you look at name, image, and likeness, transfer portal. But then, to me, how do you sell the players when all of a sudden, no, we have to maybe have a chance to do something special in the postseason, and then all of a sudden, when do you turn your back if you would leave Ole Miss and not stay there?
Yeah, with the LSU and Florida jobs, they do seem fairly similar in some ways. I think maybe the main difference is that Florida has been further away from relevancy for a longer time than LSU has. You know, they've been really ever since Urban Meyer left. There's been some little moments here and there. There was a moment under McElwain. There was a moment under Dan Mullen, but it's never really been sustained. And they've gone through so many coaches over the past, 10 to 15 years or so now. And LSU is obviously has that 2019 national championship to hang its hat on, as well as just a little bit more of a heightened success. And you're also just the one singular flagship state and power conference school in the state, as we all know. So with the whole thing with the playoff, though, is fascinating. I mean, Ole Miss is likely is almost a near lock to make the playoff at this point. Even if they lose to Mississippi State and they're 10-2, they're probably in. And if they win that game, then they're definitely in. And then you're talking about them even as a fringe four seed, most likely, because they're not going to go to the SEC championship game, at least probably not going to the SEC championship game, most likely one of those hosting one of those first round games. And I think that's why you've got Ole Miss right now kind of coming out and pushing Lane to make a decision. They don't want to be going into the playoff with uncertainty around their head coach. But it also would make for a fascinating situation if Lane leaves on the verge of going to the playoff with his team for the first time, and Ole Miss goes through the playoff with an interim coach. I mean, that seems to be a possibility here if he were to take one of these other jobs.
You know what's crazy, Wilson, when you think about, no matter what line of work you're in, the networking and who you know, who you associate with. I've been knowing Lane Kiffin way back. Do you know Coach O, my college roommate, in 2008 was the St. Stephenson line coach? Well, University of Tennessee paid him twice as much, so he went with Lane Kiffin and went to Tennessee. Now they go back to USC and all that. And you look at that relationship. So you look, I'm sure Coach O didn't share this with him, but like talk to Lane Kiffin when they won the national championship, arguably one of the greatest seasons ever. So do you think maybe Lane Kiffin, when you look at it, okay, Coach O, how was your experience in Baton Rouge and what you have to deal with? But correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't know if scorn's the right word, but didn't Lane Kiffin want to be the LSU coach before he went to Ole Miss, or sometime when that job was opening, that instead of hiring Coach Kelly, that Lane Kiffin maybe wanted to be the guy at LSU?
He wanted to be the guy.
Right.
But the athletic director was, we ain't going through that. But I'll let you answer that, Wilson.
Yeah, I've heard similarly that Lane had interest in LSU back in 2021. And that LSU never really went down that road in any sort of serious way. And, that he's always sort of had an interest in this place. And also maybe just sort of seen some of these traditional blue blood jobs as maybe, what he came up in. That was sort of the aspiration. That's kind of changed now a little bit. I mean, like, we're seeing so much success at, Indiana and Ole Miss and places like that. But maybe for someone like him, that's still kind of what you aspire to potentially. And then with Ed, man, wouldn't that be fascinating if he brought Ed Orgeron back to LSU, if LSU officials would sign off on it. I mean, it would certainly make sense that he would at least talk to Ed about his experience in Baton Rouge. If he were to do that, that would make a lot of sense. To bring him back would be maybe another thing entirely. But they go way back, and, we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out. Long way to go before we get to that.
I brought Bobby Petrino back.
Yes,
look how it ended with Bobby.
He had that bad. He had that bad motorcycle wreck. Come on.
And that was all dicey.
Yeah.
But we had Coach O on a couple weeks ago, and I asked him about the job. He had told me this off the air. Compare it, and he was like, "Mike, things have changed since I was at Ole Miss as the head coach, and things even in the short time I'm gone from LSU has changed." But one thing I do know, LSU's the better job. He said, because we all grew up in a situation where people say, man, I ain't got no money. He said, come on, Mike, you know it. LSU got money. Now, they might cry poverty because, I've had relatives of mine tell me I ain't got no money, but they loaded. LSU has the money. If they need it, this is not going to be a question of money. I think is, where does Lane feel more comfortable? Where's the most comfort fit for Lane at this point in time?
Well, how many championships that you got to go back to Johnny Vaught that Ole Miss win? That was before segregation. What are you talking about? And look at all the national championships LSU has won compared to Ole Miss. So to say, well, Ole Miss is on the same level as LSU, no. Just look at the stadiums.
But I think Florida
Just look at
is.
The stadium. No, yeah. I think exactly. Florida, Because I know that Florida, Georgia area, the players they have there.
They got players.
No, now you got to recruit. You're also competing with Florida State and the U and all that. But when I look at Wilson, what I think the winning formula is, what all ADs should look at and all universities, what in the hell is Texas Tech doing it? You want to talk about they doing it right, whether you look at their coach and you look at the transfer portal, and you never thought of Texas Tech defense. Look where they're at and how relevant they are and how that coach was getting all these all-stars together to come together as a team. To me, that you talk about what we're doing now with the name, image, likeness, and transfer portal, Texas Tech is the poster child. I don't know what they could do the rest of the year, because like if Ohio State wins the championship, well, Ohio State, they've done that, been there, done that. But if you'd have some kind of weird scenario that Texas Tech would be national champs, there wouldn't be a bigger poster child than name, image, likeness, transfer portal than the Red Raiders.
Yeah, Texas Tech has the luxury of a mega donor in Cody Campbell, who has done really well for himself in the energy sphere and is able to just sort of write blank checks and be out in front of everything. LSU, as I remember Scott Woodward told me one time, doesn't have the singular donor that it can go to and just ask for money necessarily, but it is certainly not it is not poor. I mean, LSU athletic department in the most recent fiscal year that was available, like a year or two ago, was making over $200 million. They've made over $200 million in revenue for multiple years now, and they're not the final profit isn't that, but that's what it starts off as, their revenue. And so, yeah, they're not poor. They are up there with everybody else. The thing though is that LSU's NIL collective, and this might very much matter with the pursuit of Lane, is not the most financially lucrative compared to sort of the other top programs in the country. We know they put a lot of effort into it going into this year, tripled their spending through NIL and revenue sharing compared to what they did last year, $18 million or so on this roster. But the reason that that might matter here is that Lane Kiffin was asked recently, like, what makes a good job? And one of the things that he said was the money. Like, you have to have the NIL money. You have to be able to have that kind of infrastructure in place. That it's really a lot about that kind of thing now, not as much about facilities and recruiting base, although that stuff, it can still matter. And so LSU is going to have to probably show to Lane, like, we have everything that you need to be successful, because LSU for a few years was lagging behind its SEC peers in terms of NIL. And right now the NIL collective is, from what I have been told, dormant. It could be revved back up, but because of the beginning of revenue sharing, and a different strategy that they've taken to really try to, like, do everything through finding third-party NIL deals through corporate partnerships and stuff like that, the NIL collective itself is kind of dormant. And so they're going to have to be able to spell that out to him and any other prospective coach, what exactly that situation is, so that the coach can feel comfortable knowing that LSU has everything in order to be able to go and sign a top roster.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Wilson, have you ever witnessed times change? How many significant profile or universities that their coaches are already fired? And it kind of reminds me, it's like, you look at the money involved, and everybody wants to win. Everybody's not going to win. Look, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year in the NFL. So you think right now that the way college football is, it's somewhat of a version where you're going to have this turnover every year or a few years. All of a sudden, the season's halfway over in college football, and there's 8 coaches that are getting fired. So break that down, what you've witnessed all through the years covering college football and where we're at as far as who's on the hot seat and who's gone and all that.
It has certainly accelerated. I mean, last year's coaching carousel was pretty quiet, but it seems to be that it was sort of kind of revving up into this season. And the last year, with revenue sharing on the horizon, schools maybe weren't making those decisions, weren't wanting to maybe pay those buyouts and things like that. But now you've got an expectation of competing for the college football playoff every year, sort of a it feels like a shorter, less patience nowadays, it feels like. Maybe I wonder if y'all think the same way on that. It feels like the schools and fan bases are less patient than they maybe used to be. There's this expectation to get into the college football playoff and compete for championships, that is the whole and singular focus for a program like LSU. You've got just sort of, you know, outrage that happens on, I mean, it's social media, so it's not really real life, but like, you know, that sort of people are quick to be angry and express that. And there's just sort of this, and now that we've gotten through that last year where people were kind of hesitant to do it, now you've got all these teams paying these huge buyouts and you've got this huge coaching carousel going on. And it'll be fascinating to see into the future if that continues to be the case or not, or if this is maybe like a 1 year thing where it's just so many programs turning over at once. But yeah, I think those are some of the reasons why we've seen what we have this season.
You were, Wilson. I think we're going to see this pretty often. May not be every year, but at least every other year, we're going to see massive turnover in college football. Tell us a few highlight deals that you see that they have thrown at Lane Kiffin to get him to try to come and take the LSU job.
When you say highlight deals, you mean like what contract they are?
Contract-wise.
Like, yeah, like you talk about incentives. So, yeah, like what would be like, oh, whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, I don't know for sure what LSU's contract would be for Lane Kiffin, what the pitch would be. I'm sure that it would be lucrative. I mean, he's one of the, I think it's like 11th highest paid coach in the country right now, something like that. Whoever gets him next, he's going to probably be, I don't know, this is just a guess, top five, maybe even the top paid coach in the country. What's going to be fascinating about the contract is that if they are to hire Lane Kiffin, the money on an annual basis will be huge. It'll probably be significantly more than what LSU is paying Brian Kelly. The thing to look for is the term of the contract shorter. Jeff Landry made that very clear that he does not want to see, you know, the kind of buyout that LSU was on the hook for with Brian Kelly. If you shorten the term, that could be one way to do it. Maybe it's a 6 or 7 year deal. So that by year four, you're not on the hook for, you're on the hook for a lot of money, but it's not $54 million. Maybe it's $28 million or something like that by year four, if you were to want to make a change. You could also see a contract that has heavier incentives on it, but that might not necessarily, if the annual value is really high, the guaranteed annual value is really high, then maybe you wouldn't have those incentives in it. But I think they would at least shorten the term. I would be shocked if LSU has another 10-year contract on its hands.
Now, Wilson, before we let you run, thanks for coming on. Okay, if you have your eggs all in one basket, Lane Kiffin, do you have a 2 or 3? I mean, who's on the radar?
Yeah, I've heard Eli Drinkwitz's name come up quite a few times in conversation. I think that he is on their radar and someone they're interested in. They have not dismissed the idea of John Summerall, from what I understand. And there could be others on the list as well as they move forward.
Put it to you this way. When Lane, if he would leave, I think John Summerall would be the target guy for Ole Miss. I think John would look at that job better than Auburn.
Yeah, who's the target guy for Auburn? Isn't he still?
I think John is in play there.
Also, you would take Ole Miss over Auburn, you think?
Okay, at this stage, where would you go? Auburn or Ole Miss?
No, because Auburn, you got to compete against Alabama. But all I know is when you get a Cam Newton, that didn't matter. It was Alabama.
It didn't last too long.
It's a flash. It's just like one. But who's had three greater influence in individual athletes? Always look at this, that you continue. To me, Cam Newton is third, but you look at like Bo Jackson and Charles Barkley at Auburn, in the middle of nowhere, the Plainsman, again.
That Frank Thomas guy was pretty
War Eagle.
Too.
Yeah, Frank Thomas, baseball, yeah.
That's for him. But I'll ask you, Wilson, if that scenario would happen and Lane would leave, you think it's more likely that Coach Summerall would go to Ole Miss or Auburn?
The personal connections are so much stronger at Auburn, but you'd be stepping into probably a better situation at Ole Miss, a team that's gone 10-win season 3 years in a row and going to the playoff right now. You might be able to win sooner there, so it'd be a tough decision.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us, man. I know you got a lot of things to cover. We appreciate you jumping on with us this afternoon, brother. God bless.
All right, Wilson. Thanks, bro.
Thanks for having me, y'all. You'll have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Wilson Alexander does a fantastic job covering the LSU Fighting Tigers football team for The Advocate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.